From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of February, 2017. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll discuss the price of soybeans going through the 2017-18 marketing year. That's the crop you're just about to put in the ground with Todd Hubbs. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. And then we'll take up not only the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons, but also the weather forecast too with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. And I'll remind you that we'll be on the road tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday of this week, and that in 1 month, actually a little less than that, is the All Day Ag Outlook over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You should get your tickets now. The cost is just $30. You can do that online at willag.org or by dialing this number, 800-898-1065.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It is the 13th day of February. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks so much for being with us for the day.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here.
It is sunshine and kind of pretty outside, and skies are going to get better, and I suspect farmers are beginning to tinker around in the machine sheds. And well, if that was any indication, things didn't do a lot except chop around, I think, in Chicago.
Yeah, we've seen some activity in Texas. There's quite a bit of corn being planted in the southern half of Texas. Actually, there's been some anhydrous put on here in southwestern Illinois. So, yeah, especially next week with some 60-degree weather, we'll see quite a bit of interest in hurry up and getting things ready to go, if not already. But market kind of chopped. Beans found early support from higher Chinese meal values and a little enthusiasm there, and that kind of supported beans early in the session. Then as the day went on, we started to see unwinding the spreads. They started to sell their long bean position, buy back some corn, and particularly buy wheat. Funds continued to kind of cover some short positions in the wheat. This morning's export inspections report continues to be positive. We're shipping out what we sold. This morning's report showed we shipped out over 42 million bushels of beans. For the marketing year thus far, we're at 1.5 billion bushels compared to 1.3 billion bushels last year. And on the corn shipments, we shipped out 49 million bushels. Corn shipments are 916 million bushels versus 516 million bushels last year. That bean number's expected to slow here as we start moving forward here, probably getting mid-March, as the focus will be on the southern hemisphere. Then corn shipments should remain strong here once we get into March from on out, as they shift their focus on shipping corn out of the U.S. versus beans, Todd.
Any reason to think that total shipments for the year will come in below or above USDA's numbers, I think 2.05 billion?
I think overall we're going to remain strong. We got a good commitment online. The expectations are that we could probably see exports be bumped up somewhat, barring no trade disaster or anything around the world, per se. But our world grain demand strong. You look at some of these countries in general. We've got China particularly. They're still growing. They're still going to need grain. Even these other Asian countries are still going to need grain. So I think the overall world demand for grain is going to remain somewhat strong here. And we're going to meet those goals that we've got on the supply-demand balance sheet as of now.
So those numbers are pretty close, actually, for corn and soybeans. The exports for corn at, what, 2.225 or something like that at this point. Soybeans at 2.05. So both of those in range. Exports for corn are, of course, picking up at this time. And as you discussed earlier, soybeans should be beginning to lag behind. On Commodity Week, all three of you were fairly positive but cautious in your thought process when we got to the end of that. Why do you think that was the case?
Well, it's one of those situations. We've had a fairly good move here in the grain complex since last fall. And as we move into February, February's kind of a key month, and it's more popular for us producers watch it because it average of February prices kind of sets the rate or the guarantee here for the corn and beans. And we don't want those markets to go down over the next 2 weeks here, but average bean price is about $10.20 and average corn price is $3.95.5 before today's trade action. So it's going to be kind of important to keep the market firm here. But as we move into February, though, once we get past February, if we see the weather cooperate, particularly we start warming up in 60 degrees and stay warm and dry. The concern is if we see the producer get in the field early, that's inductive of good yields most of the time if it doesn't just, you know, turn off dry, stay dry. And so the concern is we got to use strength in through here to get up to where you want to be. And if we have good weather and are at trend line or above trend line yields, no matter what the acreage mix is, we'll be in a position to have ample supplies even going into this next crop year. So it's a situation where you got to kind of use the up moves in here and develop a marketing plan to take advantage of this up move because we're a lot better off compared to where we were a year ago.
Speaking of a few weeks away, we are only a few weeks away from the All Day Ag Outlook, and you'll be there kind of looking forward to having you and Pete Manhart and, oh, another 10 of your commodity broker analyst friends along with us over there. We'll also take up farm policy. Should be a great day, and I expect you'll have something fun for us to listen to by the time we get to it.
Always look forward to that meeting. It's a great opportunity to pick up some great ideas. A lot of good talent on the panels. Always enjoy listening to what everybody else has to say. And above all, meeting a lot of listeners that tune in regularly to listen to you, Todd.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, one other thing. Anything on livestock or wheat before we go?
Well, we're on wheat. Commodity funds continue to cover shorts. Last week's supply-demand report was, I think, kind of important to set the trend. We're starting to see ending stock shrink, not only here in the U.S., but worldwide. If you listen to your Friday analyst, he's quite optimistic that the wheat could maybe lead here. So be interested to see what Mike says here at the end of the week on the wheat commentary. Also, too, on the livestock sector, seeing some correction in through here. The big thing in the pork complex is the belly stocks. We're seeing a lot of frenzy in belly movement here as the craving for bacon here in the U.S. and worldwide could support hogs for some time to come, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking with you again in a week.
Very good. Take care.
Mm-hmm. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media's Public Radio for the Farming World. Hey, have you picked up your tickets yet for the All-Day Ag Outlook? If not, do it right now. The event is less than a month away. We'll be at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on the 7th of March. Our panelists will include that day Matt Bennett, Aaron Curtis, Brian Stark, Chuck Shelby, Ellen Dearden, Bill Gentry, Pete Manhart, Bill Mayer, Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Mike Zuzulo, Dan Zwicker, Jonathan Kappas, Gary Schnitke, Nick Paulson, and Todd Hubbs. You won't find a better lineup, and it's only $30. That includes your Beef House lunch, rolls, and coffee in the morning, too. We'll kick off at 8 a.m. Central and run through about 2:30 in the afternoon. A quick day. You'll want to make sure you're there. Buy your tickets now at 800-898-1065. Better yet, just go online and fill everything out at willag.org, WILLAG. dot O-R-G. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Todd, you've written an article for the Farm Doc Daily website looking at the coming growing season and prospects for the soybeans, price and supply both. Do you start with USDA's 420 million bushel ending stocks from this year, and do you do any different calculations on it?
I started at 420, and I've stayed there. I did not feel like the USDA was being unreasonable by not moving the export numbers from 2.05 billion bushels. We've seen strong exports, and I say in the piece, we could see that number come down. It'd be nice if that ending stocks number would come down. But I believe there's a good reason to have caution right now based on what we're seeing going on in Brazil. And if that number come down, if we see the exports exceed 2.05 billion bushels, we'll see a smaller ending stocks number for the 16-17 marketing year, which would be nice for prices. And I think that's one of the big keys about what's going to happen to prices as we move forward. But right now, I'm sticking with that 420.
So you're using 420 million bushels as your ending stocks by the time we get to this fall. What kind of acreage number are you using for soybeans?
There's been a couple of years in the last five where there's been a big there's been talk about a jump in soybean acreage, and it really never materialized. When I'm looking at the planting prospects for this year, I put it at 4 million more acres of soybeans, which puts it at 87.4. I think that's a reasonable number. We've only ever seen in the last, 20 years, there's only been three times where soybean plantings have gone above 4 million from the previous year. And those are sort of special cases. And this year may be a special case. You're right, that range of discussion, I've heard above 89 million acres, ranging to just 85. But everybody's saying there's going to be an increase in acreage. And there's a lot of reasons for that. The lower cost of production of soybeans relative to corn. The soybean to corn price ratio is really strong, favoring soybeans right now. And we saw winter wheat seedings down significantly. And there's been discussion of spring wheat seedings being down significantly. So this idea that there'll be more soybean acres is a pretty good idea. I think that's true. To say that there's going to be 7 to 8 million more acres of soybeans is a strong assumption, in my opinion. I feel like 4 million acres is reasonable. I wouldn't be surprised with 5, but if it's above 89, I will be surprised. I really will. So I'm coming in at 87.4 million for planted acreage. And normally in soybeans, there's not a lot of abandoned acres unless there's a drought year. If there's a drought year, then all this is moot anyway. So I'm saying about 700,000 acres abandoned. That's about what we've seen on average on normal years. And that would put us at 83.7 million harvested acres. And I think those are reasonable assumptions, and that's what I'm working off of right now.
What kind of production do you end up with then?
It's a big number. It's really hard.
I can only imagine.
It's really hard to figure out the yields right now. We've had three consecutive yields above trend. And I'm not sure we're in a new production paradigm in soybeans. It's really hard to say yet. Will we revert back to trend? Could we see 46, 47 bushels an acre? I'm putting it at 48 bushels an acre. I try to be reasonable in these estimations. On a normal weather year, I think we could see 48 bushels per acre, or in that range, pretty easily. So I'm sitting at 48 bushels an acre, which puts the 2017 soybean crop at 4.16 billion bushels. But when you figure even 4 million more acres at 48 bushels an acre, it's a big production number. And that's hanging over this 2017 crop. You never know what's going to happen with yields. I think there's a big weather market in South America right now. I think a lot of people are thinking about weather down there, but we've had great soybean crops for the last 3 years. and I'm not a big believer in the gambler's fallacy. I don't believe we're due for a bad one, so I'm not going to assume we're going to have a bad one. And so, you know, if you figure 4.2 billion bushels produced with a 420 million bushel carryout, and we think 25 million bushels of imports, which is about what we see, we're looking at 4.6 billion bushels of supply in 2017-18. You know, for us not to raise ending stocks in 2017-18, that'd mean we'd have to consume about 4.2 billion bushels of soybeans, which for me, under the current soybean consumption projections I've made on crush and exports, that doesn't seem likely. So when I'm looking forward to 2017-18, there's three things I'm seeing: increased acreage, increased ending stocks, lower prices. Now, just how much lower is the question. And we're still got the whole growing season ahead of us, so this is all very high-level speculation. But I'm putting the price in the 890 to 910 range, the average farm price for 2017-18, based on those numbers. Having said that, I think there's two big things that can mitigate that price decline. If we see the 2016-17 ending stocks drive down because export demand is stronger than I'm currently assuming, or if we have a bad crop year. And that's it. I don't see any other way out of this scenario, and I think it's the most likely scenario. So that's where I'm bringing it in at.
That's Todd Hubbs. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can always read more from him most Mondays on the Farm Doc Daily website. Look for the Weekly Outlook. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's going to be a busy week this week. I'll be on the road with Farm Credit again in Olney tomorrow evening, Mattoon at Lakeland College on Wednesday morning, and then the Soybean Summit is Thursday in Peoria. We'll be there. We'll broadcast to you from there. The other 2 days I'll be in the office, or should be back in the office, because the Olney event is an evening event tomorrow, and it's a 10 o'clock event there at Lakeland for the Farm Credit event. Also, don't forget that the big event that's really coming up is over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. That's the 7th day of March, so we're getting closer to that. The cost is just $30 if you haven't purchased your ticket. 800-898-1065 or online at willag.org. That's easier for everybody, I think, involved, willag.org. But 800-898-1065 for the day-long event. Now let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Carolyn White is here. She's from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Carolyn. What a beautiful day it is today.
Good afternoon, Todd. It is a gorgeous day today.
Looks like we're going to have a bunch more of those, and that usually means that farmers begin to tinker around in the shed and the shops and start to think about being outside a bit more, and I suspect things are a little quieter at your shop there. Is that right?
It is somewhat here. The doggone ground, you know, it's been a good day to haul when the ground's hard and they can get to some of these bins, and then we have 60-degree weather, and then it gets a little sloppy, and so we're kind of back and forth on that. So kind of had crazy weather here.
And the roads get posted, and the folks don't like to have those big semis running up and down the road, so they tell them, no, you can't run. So things get a lot quieter. What do you think about basis in our area for both corn and soybeans?
It's been, you know, steady to maybe just a little bit better here. We had a little softer tone here in the markets today. Corn up a penny and beans down 4 to 5. The rainfall in Argentina this past weekend was less than expected. And from Friday, with the commitment of traders report here, we had some tech fund buying. Just kind of didn't stay true with us here today, but we're kind of at some key resistance levels here, and guys are liquidating old crop corn and beans both.
We've got to go. Thanks so much, Carolyn. Carolyn White is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to helping farm families succeed by offering financial products and services geared specifically to agriculture and rural communities and developing partnership-based relationships with its member owners.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media for a Monday afternoon, the 13th day of February. We're now joined by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be here, Todd. Thank you.
The weather has been, how should I say it, warm for February. Just how far off the norm are we, and what can we expect in the next several days?
Well, here in the Midwest, we are going to see actually a little bit of a cool down to basically a day or two of near normalcy coming up on Wednesday and on into Thursday. But after that, for the upcoming weekend, that's when temperatures will turn just highly anomalous across the entire Midwest. Here, specifically across Illinois and adjacent areas, will be about 20 to as much as 23 degrees above normal. We'll have high temperatures climbing into the 60s, even some low 70s across the southern half of the Midwest, and minimum temperatures in the 40s. So again, that compares to normals of this time of year, just basically 30s north and low 40s south with the minimum temperatures in the 20s. So again, over 20 degrees above normal. And it's really the upcoming weekend is going to be the peak here of the warmth. We do see a little more variability as we go later on into next week. But all in all, from now through the end of the month, it's a distinct warmer than normal pattern, not only in the Midwest, but really across the entire central and eastern U.S.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question I don't think you'll know exactly the answer to, because I'm going to talk about vernalization and wheat, and that's a requirement that wheat stays cold for a certain amount of time. But in the Great Plains and winter wheat areas, maybe even in Illinois, where winter wheat is grown, how many days have we had that have been, say, under 20 degrees? Or 25 or 30 degrees?
Ooh, not off the top of my head here. But, definitely the plains have seen more warmth, anomalous warmth here compared to the Midwest here. Yep. Yeah. And so with that, certainly we should be seeing wheat come out of dormancy, especially in the southern areas of the plain states, within the next couple of weeks, if they haven't already started greening in a few areas already.
All right. Quickly, South American weather for me. What happened over the weekend? What's your expectations for the next few days?
Well, over the weekend, the takeaway was some scattered, widely scattered heavy rains in portions of Argentina, kind of outside of the main growing areas. That's something to watch here going forward. It does look like Argentina is more active from now through the end of the month. It doesn't look to be a repeat of what we had back a month ago with heavy rainfall directly in the heart of the belt, but there may be a few isolated areas with wetness issues over the next couple of weeks. Brazil's in good shape. No sign of any problems with the harvest in Mato Grosso. Eastern Brazil, particularly Bahia, will be trending drier than normal, but we see that only lasting a couple of weeks. And all in all, Brazil looks to be in good shape.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
That is Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media.